Let's start. Hi, it's Diane. It is Tuesday, October 10th. I'm here with the Noon Group. So far we have Jennifer and Velma and Lori. So let's start with check-ins and celebrations. And I would love, because we had this conversation last week about accountability, and as you're celebrating or reflecting, if you could kind of just share a little bit about what you were taking aim on and how did it go. And feel free to say, well, it didn't go the way I wanted to, and that's enough. You know, so don't feel like you have to be on the spot if it didn't go the way you wanted it to. That's fine. You can figure out if you want to take aim there again. But I would love to kind of loop back and see how everybody did on what they wanted to focus on last time. Who's going to check in first?
This is Lori. I could go first. Hello. I think it's great that you're doing this accountability because sometimes I usually look at my notes the time before and I think, oh, you know, and then we never really address it. So it's kind of like for celebrations, I had a fantastic first parent-teacher conference. Lilith, my daughter, is in freshman in high school and is doing well academically and pretty much socially, though still has some challenges and friendships and stuff, but it was very, very positive, so that was good. Last week I was talking about taking aim at helping with household responsibilities, and while just looking back in the past week, while she has done some of them, you know, it's not always, oops, you forgot to do this. It's not always a completed task. She needs to go back, but at least she's making some effort. But I realized that I didn't give her any kind of, we didn't discuss any time schedule, like when she needs to clean the kitchen. So the weekend would go by and the pots would still be sitting there. So I think if I wanted to aim at it again, I think we need to come up with more agreed upon parameters. But
So you need to be even more specific with her in terms of setting expectations. Love that.
Right.
Love that.
Yeah.
What about you? What did you notice about you that you were able to do differently, not just what she was doing differently?
Not much, because I realized that I was getting frustrated because the pans, you know, it wasn't a complete. You clean the kitchen means clean all the pans, not half the pans. So it's kind of more of maybe just describing what it is, and she thought she did, and she didn't notice the pans sitting there or things. So it's more of trying to describe what I'm expecting and see if she understands that and is okay with then agreeing to do that at this time period. So I think we just need to always be communicating better.
Yeah, well, and that's a great awareness, Lori. I think the thing that I would challenge you to as you're looking at this again is, you know, what's your mindset around it? We talk about this a lot, right? So it's kind of like your frustration creeps. If it doesn't go the way we want it to, frustration creeps in. And the analogy I want to bring in is like if she was learning how to ride a bike, right, would you be mad at her the fourth time she fell down? Or would you help her figure out how to balance? You know, so if she's learning how to independently clean the kitchen, she may not get it the first time. And then you could be frustrated because she hasn't done it right. Or you could say, wow, she's still learning. How can I help her to continue to learn? And there's a subtle difference there that might help with some stress and frustration. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, there's a good difference. It's just also thinking, reminding myself that I have to keep doing this even though she's 14.
Right.
You know, so it's hard sometimes.
Yeah. It's easy to get frustrated because you feel like you shouldn't have to be doing it. And if you knew you had to, and that this is part of the process, it might make it lighter for you as you're thinking about it. Cool.
And then it's also easier if you walk in the kitchen for the third time and the pan is just to do it yourself. And that doesn't help anybody, you know, but.
And the reality is that you might say, hey, sweetie, I really appreciated this. Well, and that's one of the other tools we use, right? So celebration. So if you say, thank you so much for doing the dishes. I caught the last one. I know next time you'll know to kind of make sure you get through them all, you know, or whatever it is to kind of keep it positive, keep it light. you could go get her and say, hey, you know, it's like I've done that with my daughter sometimes. I'll go, okay, I want you to look at the kitchen counter and tell me what you see and what you don't see, because it's obvious that you thought that you finished, and I don't think you finished, so we've got a disconnect here. Let's see what we're looking at together and notice. And she'll be like, oh, yeah, I didn't think about throwing that in the garbage, or, oh, yeah, I didn't think about, you know, and you can, it helps your awareness with what all their brain misses, if that makes sense.
Great. Yeah, that's
cool.
A great idea.
All right, Vilma, what's your check-in and accountability here?
So last time, this is a 1, 2, 3 step. So I'm at step 2, and last time, step 1 was to find out how motivated she was, the 20-year-old college student, how motivated she was to figure out what's getting in the way of her doing well on exams. So you had given me this tea, which was to have a conversation, at which point I could somewhere along the line ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, how invested are you in finding this out? And she went 10 immediately. So I was feeling really good, but now comes step 2. And I was asking you about the, what was this? No, wait a minute. What do you call this? The exercise around the chart on, okay, I'm losing the word here, executive function.
Okay.
There's an exercise in our workbook.
Oh, and today's exercise, right? Yeah.
Pardon?
In today's exercise, yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that handy?
That's
exactly
it is.
Where
thank
I
you
am.
For, thank you for the foreshadowing.
So I had another conversation with her in the course of things, you know, what did you do today conversation, and she launched into this whole thing about she's so happy that she doesn't have to go see a psychologist anymore because he can't tell her anything she doesn't know, and she doesn't know already, and big emotional dump of how it had always made her feel like she was incapable, and now that she's been on her own getting prepared for tests, and she gotten a C on a test, which is pretty damn good for her, in chemistry no less. I might have gotten a D myself. and that she was feeling really good about managing things on her own.
Awesome.
So now, this is step 2. Now where do I go with this?
Well, that's the thing is. So it sounds like you've gotten some accountability. So give me one thing that you want to celebrate out of that, Vilma.
I want to celebrate that she feels free to talk to me about her change in attitude from feeling inadequate to feeling like she can manage. Well, that's pretty good.
Love that.
Not life, but just on this piece with getting ready for taking exams.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Jennifer, what about you?
I failed to write down what I was going to take aim on.
Well, that's a good aha, huh?
Yeah. Got a bunch of other notes. I guess.
Do you want me to tell you what I wrote down?
Sure, you wrote it down great. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. you were talking about shifting and becoming more of an advocate rather than a, it's some of the comments that you would make and watching your reactions and moving into a role as advocate. for him in terms of homework and getting assignments done, is what I wrote
down. Okay. Okay, yeah, I've got bits of notes about that. I guess a celebration from that is he has been taking a little bit more accountability after I tell him what he needs to be accountable for in talking to the teacher about coming in late, coming in early, or staying late for extra help on an assignment or getting the assignment due date extended. But I still need to, you know, try and gently remind him, well, honey, I was looking on home access, and this says that you missed the due date. Oh, well, I don't know when it was due. So he still needs to, you know, take accountability for getting all the due dates and everything down, which he hasn't been. But he's been doing good about going to the teacher and asking for help with it or extra time. So I'm happy with
capturing,
that.
Yeah, so capturing due dates. So he's been going to teachers. That's great. But it sounds like there's still some opportunities in terms of capturing assignments. Is that someplace you want to take aim this week, Jennifer?
Yeah, because he needs to be able to do that, you know, in life.
Well, and so I think that's the piece of it is that, you know, we talked last week about taking aim at the macro level, which is kind of being, in this instance, Jennifer, it would be success at school. And then if we're going to get curious and we're going to look at what's really going on, you know, it's that opportunity to say what are some of the big, I like to call them mud puddles. So what are some of the big challenges within doing well in school? You know, so is it capturing assignments? Is it about turning in assignments? Is it about following through on homework? Is it about studying for tests? Is it about taking tests and applying the knowledge that they have? Is it, you know, is it certain subjects? Is it, you know, so there's all of this sort of detective work that we really have to do to kind of dig in and look and see what's really going on underneath the surface and figure out what some of the challenges are underneath it, and that's where today's lesson about executive functional kick in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And he suffers horribly from lack of executive function.
Yeah. So this will be a good place to dig in and look at what some of the executive function challenges are that are making it difficult. So,
okay.
Sandy, is that you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was on mute.
New York.
Yes, it is. Hi.
Nice to hear your voice. So you want to check in, and we're doing check-ins and celebrations, and then we're going to go ahead and take aim.
Okay. Just in terms of celebration, I guess it's that my son is a senior, so there's a lot going on in the fall, as you know, and it's bumpy. It's definitely bumpy. We go up and down, but overall, I think it's going a little bit better than what I thought it would be in terms of him, you know, trying to kind of keep up with, you know, attending things and trying to keep his grades up and recognizing that these things are important, you know, for college. So it's a struggle, but I think he's really trying, which is great.
Awesome. Cool. Let me go back to Lori. Lori, where do you want to, we talked last week about taking aim, both at the macro and the micro level. Do you know where you want to take aim, either macro or micro at this stage?
Let's see. I was reviewing what the program that today was going to be about, and I really, looking at the executive function, which is a big area, but there's one part that that I highlighted is the emotional management about easily taking over with her emotions. So it would be great to figure out, so I like to take aim at helping her be able to breathe and calm down and say, okay, what's going on? And then maybe once you identify the triggers, figure out how you can either avoid them or manage them. So I don't know if that's micro, right? That seems to be.
No, I think that's great. So you want to take aim on emotion management, and from a micro level, specifically trigger management. Is there something in particular that you notice triggers her that would help you to kind of say, okay, I'm going to focus in on, you know, triggers when we're talking about homework, or triggers when it's time to get off her electronics, or what, you know, where would you drill in even further?
The biggest blow-ups, I mean, she doesn't like any of them starting homework or getting off her phone or something, but the most is occasionally in the morning when we have to, when she's getting ready for school and she has bags to pack and a breakfast that she's thin to begin with, and food has always been an issue, and so it's really important that she has breakfast because she doesn't really have lunch. So that's kind of non-negotiable. And so sometimes she just, so it's kind of both a trigger, because when I ask her when she comes home and things are calmer about recognizing what happened in the morning and how it was so awful and she was screaming and things, and she kind of says, well, I'm tired, or I, you know, and so clearly from my point, it's like, okay, get up a little bit earlier, or when you get up, get out of bed and actually, or pack your backpack before. I mean, all these solutions that are so obvious to me, but it's more of both the trigger management, but it's more of they're going to happen, and when they happen, how do we calm them down versus saying, okay, watch your tone, or, you know, right there, and that sometimes makes it worse.
Trigger and emotion management, specifically around morning times when she's a little bit tired and moving into her day. Got it.
Right.
Vilma, yeah. What's step three, Vilma? You said you're on the third step this week. Vilma's 10-step program? I just am curious. No, I'm teasing.
only 10 steps? I can do that.
There you go.
So I think I'm going to target information management as on the executive function as to how to address that.
So that's pretty macro. Do you have something specific that you can see as a challenge for her?
Working memory.
Actually, so I want to go back and. So if working memory is a challenge for her, let's start with the what does it look like, right? So the challenge you're seeing is she's forgetting to hang up her towel in the bathroom. I'm making that up because she doesn't live with you anymore and you don't care about her towels.
Right.
But, you know, so start with the challenge that you're seeing, and then let's work back to the working memory piece of it. So what particular challenge of hers do you want to take aim on?
She, let's say in chemistry, studying for in chemistry, she will forget the equations she's supposed to use. She understands the process, but she forgets the, it's like an equation, like numbers and
Got it.
Signs.
So specifically taking aim on helping her to be more successful in chemistry. You notice that there's some executive function challenges that are getting her there, but let's start with the effectiveness in studying for chemistry. Does that feel like the right place to go?
Maybe, but what do you do about forgetfulness, even if she studies a lot and then she forgets it?
Well, so it's success with studying, right? So it's like you want her studying to end up being productive. Okay, good clarification.
Right.
Cool. All right, so Jennifer, we were talking with you about capturing assignments. Is that still where you want to take aim, or do you want to refine or go a little bit more macro for our conversation?
No, I want to That's good. I need to find out why, you know, what's going on that he's not able to capture assignments, due dates, you know.
Yep.
All
great.
That stuff.
Okay. Sandy, where do you want to take aim today? Oh, do you have us on mute again? You did for a while. Sandy. I'm so glad you said that because I kept talking. yeah. Emotional, I think emotional regulation piece. Okay.
So give me an example of a challenge, a specific thing that's a trigger either for you or for him or for anybody else in your family.
I'm trying to keep it specific to the college stuff, but I think it's really more with his sister. just getting really frustrating, very low patience, and just, you know, lashing out and saying something nasty that's not going to help the situation.
Okay, so frustration management, it sounds like, more specifically.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yep.
Okay. All right, good. So I think this topic is a great one to follow last week's, because last week when we were talking about taking aim, we were talking about taking aim at a macro level and then going and educating, getting information, and then using that as a way to take aim at a more micro level. And so it's hard, I know, for a lot of us to take aim and to choose one challenge area, but I think just even in this conversation we had trying to hone in and get really specific on taking aim, it can be really helpful. And for me, when I'm gathering information and trying to get curious about what's really going on with my kids in a challenge area or working with my clients and getting really curious about what's going on from a challenge perspective, going back to the executive functions is such a powerful thing. And so the executive function is the part of the brain that tells us what to do, what not to do, when to do it, that follows through, that helps us organize, it helps us plan. It really helps us to do the stuff of life. And, you know, most of our kids, whether they have anxiety or ADD or, you know, other challenges, that most of them are impacted somehow by executive function. And I know even for myself as someone who doesn't officially have any diagnoses, the more overwhelmed I get, the more exhausted I get, the more anxious I get or worrisome I get, that part of my brain, it's the frontal lobe, is where the executive function lives. It actually shuts down, and we tend to go back into some more of the more habitual parts of our brain or even the more primal parts of our brain where, you know, the fight or flight lives, that sort of thing. And so all of us are impacted by executive function, especially when we get triggered or overwhelmed. So that's just something to think about, is that we may have a diagnosis as an adult, and so we may have official executive function challenges, but all of us have challenges on a day-to-day basis, depending on kind of how calm and aware we are and connected to our executive function. On page 21, we just kind of list the different executive functions and what they are. And then what we're going to do today is really kind of look in on the exercise on page 22, which is the list of all the executive functions and the challenges. So I find this chart to be really helpful because information management is, you know, is one category, but then underneath it, there's a lot of different components to this. And so as we do this exercise, what I'm going to challenge you to do is to take one of those areas where, you know, take the area where you're taking aim, and go back and look and say, what are all of the things that might be leading to the challenge? And so those of you who are talking about emotion management and triggers, you know, you might go back and kind of ask yourself, what's going on that's causing the triggers in a particular, you know, it's frustration management is a great example, Sandy. So you might go back and say, you know, where are some great examples of situations where he tends to get frustrated, and is there an executive function that's behind that besides just emotion management? And then the other thing I would say, Jennifer, to you specifically about assignments, I remember specifically sitting down with my son maybe in 9th or 10th grade and really going class by class by class and saying,
what is it that makes it hard to capture assignments in Mr. Smith's class and Ms. Jones's class, and you know, and kind of went through and said, how do they give you your assignments, and when is your opportunity to capture them, and how are you capturing them, or what makes it hard? And you know, what I found from him is that sometimes the executive function was staying organized, right? So he'd write it down and he'd put it on a piece of paper, but then the piece of paper would get lost somewhere in the binder. Sometimes it was working memory, because he would remember it one way. He'd write it down and he'd write it really fast, but he wouldn't write enough details to capture everything, and then he would remember it wrong. And he would say, oh, well, I thought it was chapter two, but it was really chapter three. Sometimes it was distraction because, you know, the teacher, the kind of teacher that hollers the assignment as you're walking out the door, he's already just distracted, thinking about his next class, got his backpack packed, so he doesn't have the space to kind of write something down, but he's in a hurry because he doesn't want to be late to his next class. So there's all kinds of executive function in that. And so you can see even just that area of capturing assignments, there's a lot of executive function that comes into play in terms of being able to do something that we think is as simple as writing down an assignment. So the exercise here is to pick one of these challenge areas and kind of really look at what are the executive function challenges, either for your kid or if it's a challenge area for you, that are leading to, that are making the situation difficult. So take a minute and, you know, either write some notes in the margin. I don't know if you want to scribble on this page or not. I like to keep a pristine version of page 22, like, on my desk so I can use it again and again and again because I love that chart. But take some notes and kind of I'll just give you some quiet, and then we can go back and talk a little bit about the exercise and about executive functions generally. I'm going to take one more minute here, and then we'll come back to the conversation. Okay, let's hear from everybody. What are you noticing with this exercise?
Well, this is Lori. For my daughter, you know, there's marks on every one of the categories, but her largest is probably activation, and you know, there's a few of working memory and just emotional management when I look at with all this. But clearly, it's kind of just getting started and time management. That's the hardest part.
Yeah, so when you said that the thing you wanted to take on was emotion management, when you think about the things that cause triggers, is there an executive function that sits with a trigger rather than just the executive function challenge of emotion management?
Time management, probably. I mean, if they're trying to link these up of why does she get frustrated most of the time, it's because she's being asked or she feels she's being asked to do too many things, and it's going to make her late for school.
Got it. So she's having a difficult time sequencing and managing her time, and she gets stressed by all of the things that need to be done, and then she tends to get triggered because she's worried that she's going to get late.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So for that executive functioning versus when I was kind of looking at this, I was thinking of in general all the tasks she does, and right now most of the things that she has to do is homework related. So that's why the activation part, but it all kind of feeds in. I never really think of, okay, why, you know, there's the activation part in the morning. I never, you know, that's kind of like my aha, because I always just thought, just get up and do it. But it's a similar thing to getting her started with her homework. It's just trying to get her moving and not to have her lose track or go upstairs to get something and then she's doing something else, you know. And so
there's a lot of activation issues that are going on. And if your thought is, oh, she can just get it done, it may not be a realistic expectation, particularly if she has a hard time with that time of day generally where she's, you know, easing into her day, she may not be a morning person, I mean, those sorts of things. If they have a hard time with time management and getting started in the afternoon and morning's not their best time, it even exacerbates it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So does that lead you to focus on, somebody was talking about prevention versus management, right? So it's kind of like, do you start with helping her to handle it when she gets triggered, or do you go back and say, what are the triggers and how do I prevent them by helping her with the executive function challenge?
Well, I like to be able to do both, because even though there could be an increased effort in helping prevention, most likely they're still going to occur, hopefully to a lesser extent. So it's
right.
Kind of, I don't want to only focus on the prevention part, but once, if you get that down, maybe it'll be, you know, most of the time it's just going to be the activation thing versus the emotional management.
Right. That makes sense.
Can I take both of them or be aware that they're both?
I think that that's what you've got to figure out is kind of the chicken. It's kind of the chicken and the egg thing here, you know. So it's kind of, you know, you get to decide how much is going to overwhelm you or overwhelm her to focus on. But it sounds like the aha is that sometimes the executive function challenge leads to the frustration, which leads to the emotion management.
Right. Yep.
Cool. Other thoughts?
Yep, I got one.
Go for it.
This is Velma. I was stuck on this information management forgetfulness working memory issue, and I was reading through the areas of executive function in the workbook, the page before, which is page, and I ran across a line and suddenly that made sense. It's the line under energy and effort management.
Okay.
That with hyperactivity, which she really has, she has a hard time slowing down enough to assure quality work. So she thinks she knows it, but she just goes on to the next thing as opposed to slowing down enough to practice what it is she's going to eventually forget.
Right. Well, and
so
it could be that. That's absolutely it. And so if you're going, especially if you've got a really fast brain, I remember that, I had a professor once who told me that if I didn't misspell a single word on the final exam, he'd give me an A in the class. And I spent literally an hour reviewing. I spent 45 minutes writing the essay and an hour reviewing the essay, and I still got to be in his class because my brain was going so fast, it wasn't slowing down enough to see the mistake I made, even though I looked at it over and over, forward and backwards, everything else. I mean, it just really is.
Yeah.
It was a regulation piece of it, like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if you know that she has a hard time slowing down enough, how would you bring that to her awareness?
That's a good question. I certainly can't deal with it directly. Somehow she's going to have to discover this herself. So I'll take any input you have.
Well, I think that this exercise is a great one to do with our kids on a good day. Some of our kids don't always have, the same kind of perspective, or they aren't in the mood. But, I would take this back in because I think it might be a good time for my daughter right now because she's having some of the same challenges, Velma, that your daughter is having with studying, to kind of look and say, what do we think is going on and what are some of the areas of executive function, and just kind of really walk through and talk through transparently. Here are some of my challenges. Here are some of the things that I notice. If you don't, when you're flying through the kitchen and you're making popcorn and you go upstairs and, it's the next day before you notice that you left the popcorn all over the counter, what executive function would help you to, that sort of stuff, right? So I think that this is a great exercise to do with her. And you might let her turn the tides and say, I did this exercise looking at you. Why don't you do it looking at me and see what you notice about some of my areas of executive function challenges? Because like I said, we all have them, particularly when we get triggered.
Yeah.
Some of these are difficult for all of us. How does that feel, Velma?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. And I'll be the first one to admit when I'm reading this, I've been, critiquing myself all my life and not being Miss Perfect on any of these.
Everybody's
a good
brain
idea.
Everybody's brain is different, right? So we all have different executive function challenges at different times.
Yep. But I mean, heck, I'm distractible, I'm known for burning almost every other dish that I cook. So she has plenty of, that's a good idea. I'll have her do me.
Love that. All right. Other thoughts?
Well, she knows I'm in this. She knows that I'm in this coaching, and she thinks it's just great.
Yes.
She's
that's
real
grateful.
Well,
take advantage of that, Velma. Not all of our parents' kids like the fact that they're getting coaching. Yours seems to like it a lot, so that's great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Other thoughts? Thoughts about the exercise or other areas of challenge that's coming up for you as you're looking at this particular module?
What area would be having the hard time slowing down?
So, so Velma, you were finding that on energy management, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute.
So,
sorry. Management, effort management, I found it under
energy and effort management, right? So I think slowing down or speeding up, right? So you've got people who the brain gets really sluggish when things aren't interesting. And so my ADHD kid will fall asleep trying to study because it's just so hard to get her brain going. But if they're hyperactive, that's where the slowing down to manage quality work comes in, Jennifer. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
So what do you notice as some of the big challenges for your kiddo?
Some from almost every category. I think the working memory, he'll think he'll remember the assignment, but then at the end of the day, he'll forget it completely.
So there's a little magical thinking wrapped in there, right? Which is, I think I'll remember and I don't.
Right. I think a lot of it goes back to organizing and, you know, which falls into a couple categories. And you know, sequencing what does he need to do or make sure he has in order to capture assignments. Does he have his agenda? Usually, no, he doesn't. So he'll scribble it on a piece of paper, and then I'll get lost in the abyss of a book bag and then forgotten.
Yeah. So I think that that's the piece of it, is that if you can look at it and see that it's executive function challenge, then you say what is and isn't a realistic expectation right now, what can they do independently and what can't they, and then what's the next step of independence? Because you know that these, if it's a challenge for them, there's an opportunity there to help them with accommodations or supports or scaffolding, kind of depending on how you approach it. Other thoughts?
Well, that's, you know, you say what's a realistic expectation for where he is now. Within our house is completely different than what the school thinks. Because, you know, schools think, you know, okay, he's in 11th grade. He should have this down by now.
So does he have accommodations or a 504 or anything?
Yeah, he's got an IEP, but they're still trying to fit this square kid in a round hole.
So that gets back to your advocating comment from last time, Jennifer. It's like, how do you partner with the teachers in the school to make sure that, you know, he has accommodations? You know, when I've got a 504 meeting this week, and we're going to sit down and say, okay, what are some of my daughter's challenges in each of these classes, and what can the teacher do to help accommodate them, those places where she's not being successful? So that's a great opportunity, is to say, yes, they might expect him to do it, but if he's having a hard time, where can he get help?
Okay. Yeah, we just went through this in his preparation for the PSAT tomorrow and making sure that he has all of his College Board accommodations during that test tomorrow to help him be successful.
Yeah.
But yep, it's also up to him to make sure he goes to the right place. You know, they say to go to your advising class. No, CJ, you don't go to advising. You need to go to this class instead. Forget what they tell you, you know, instead of following rules.
So what's the conversation with CJ about making about how he's going to remember what to advocate for himself and his accommodations?
Well, I think we need to sit down tonight and go over what the exact accommodations are for the PSAT. They're different than a regular class test. So he needs to know exactly what they are, maybe even print them out for him with a big note on there to, you know, go to this room, not your advisor's room, as they'll tell you in the morning.
So how could you, if the thing that's flashing in my head, Jennifer, for you is ask, don't tell. So if you're going to ask him a question instead of telling him what to do, what would you ask him?
Does he know what his accommodations are?
Okay, great. How are you going to make sure that you remember to go to the right place? How are you going to, what are you going to do if your accommodations are missed? You know, and how are you going to, who are you going to talk to? You know, all of those questions to kind of help him think through, what does he do? You know, does he need an alarm on his phone 5 minutes before the bell rings to remind him to go to this class instead of that class? Does he need a friend to help him to remember? Does he need you to say it 17 times before he leaves in the morning? What does he really need? And it may be that he wants you to help him remember, and it may be that he wants to put some other accommodation in place to help him to remember. But the challenge to you, Jennifer, that I want to give you is to find ways to hold him accountable for figuring out what he needs himself.
Okay.
Cool. What else?
Well, I have a question about, I mean, I think it's really interesting, particularly because the kids are older, but to go over the chart with them and have them look both from both perspectives. But how do you do it without, I'm just concerned that, you know, that these are, because this is all basically a chart of challenges, but could also be interpreted as areas, you know, that she's weak in. And so it's like, I don't want to be, okay, which ones are the ones that are the biggest concerns? Again, kind of, you know, so how do you present this in a more, hey, let's, a more positive spin?
Yeah, no, I like that. That's a great question. So number one is that if you're going to have a general conversation and you're educating your child about their brain, you do talk about strengths and you talk about challenges, you know, so you know, you might start with over time, you know, everybody's brain is different. Everybody's brain is has strong in some places and is challenged in other places. You talk about strengths. You know, what are you really good at? What do you really like to do? What do you, you know, where are your skills and your talents? I think where I would take this executive function chart is rather than kind of the laundry list of all of the executive function challenges is to say, you know, especially with older kids, it's like once you have buy-in to work on a challenge, so if it's, you know, following through on homework or capturing assignments and the kid says, yeah, this is a challenge. I really want to figure out how to do a better job of getting engaged in my homework. Then you can pull the chart out and say, okay, what are the things that might be getting in the way that might make it hard for you to be, like with my daughter, so the conversation I want to have with her is testing. You know, she does not do as well on tests as she does on classwork assignments. So, you know, what are some of the executive function challenges that might be getting in the way when you're working on and studying for tests or taking a test? Does that make sense? So you do it as a specific area rather than, okay, here are the 100 things that are really hard for you.
Right.
Does that feel lighter, Lori?
Yes, it does, because I thought, gosh, to give her put this chart in front of her, I think it's just would be overwhelming and not, it just really depends on her frame of mind at the time. But they're all, it's because it's really negative. It's a chart that outlines the challenges. It doesn't, you know, it's not, and that's fine. That's what this exercise is for, but. Yeah.
But no, but it's a great aha, and I think that I appreciate that clarification because when I was talking to Vilma, it's like, well, maybe you start with your challenges and you get her in the habit of looking at, you know, what are some of the executive function challenges? We had this big argument about, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know, it gets back to the buy-in. And especially with our older teens, it's like if we're trying to get them to fix the challenge that we want to have fixed but they're not interested in, it's going to be harder to focus on this than it is if it's a challenge, you know, some of the social anxiety issues and things like that, where the kids might be interested in figuring out and solving more independently.
Right.
Thanks for clarifying that. Other thoughts before we move into our final four questions?
Sandy, did this give you some good meat on your emotion management? I'm curious kind of where you landed after we talked about the emotions part of it.
Yeah, it does. I guess I changed my aim a little bit after hearing everybody
so
and listening. But
where did you land?
Meaning aiming at, you mean, or?
Yeah. So you said you shifted a little bit. Was there anything in this exercise of executive function that helped you to kind of say, I think I'm going to take aim here instead of just on emotion management?
Well, it's emotion management, but I think, as kind of a few people pointed out, it's a lot of times it's something else that's kind of triggering that emotional challenge, you know, whether you can't focus or you've forgotten something. And I know he gets frustrated because he can't focus that well. So it's just, you know, how do you kind of self-manage then, or how do you try to redirect and, you know, get yourself focusing without getting all flustered and then having things get worse?
Yeah, so maybe normalizing it and talking about, you know, how it's easy to get distracted. There's a lot of things that can be distracting. What do you do when it might be a good opportunity for transparency. You know, what do you do, Sandy, when you get distracted to bring your brain back instead of getting frustrated, those sorts of things. Cool. Awesome. So let's do our wrap up on page 23. And we ask these same four questions at the end of each call. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? And so, Jennifer, I'm going to challenge you to write it down this week because you said you didn't write it down last time.
Right.
So take a minute, jot down at least an aha and an action commitment. What became clear, and what do you want to do about it? How do you turn the information into action today? And whenever somebody's ready, they can go first.
Well, I can go. I think it's interesting because up until today, or I'd be reminded that the frustration and the kind of emotional deregulation is linked to executive functioning challenges. And so just take a step back and recognize that, and then also recognize what's a realistic expectation for her and her place in life right now. So it's just trying to figure out when she gets frustrated and overwhelmed, how to apply some of these executive functioning, particularly the time management tasks to help her soothe herself.
Okay. Cool. How concrete does that feel, or do you feel like you need to make it more specific?
Well, I think a while ago, at least for homework, because she does get frustrated when I keep saying, okay, have you done your math? And now it's kind of like when she comes home and she says, I have math, I said, okay, when are you going to work on it? And she says, oh, 8 o'clock, you know, or something like that. And then 8 o'clock comes along. And so I think that actually to have her write down, even if it's just scribbled on a whiteboard, a schedule, and then perhaps put an alarm on her phone that says, 10-minute warning or 8 o'clock, it beeps. So she's So it's more, it's a little more detailed schedule so she can self-regulate herself. And hopefully that would be just enough of support that she could manage her time better.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and so my challenge to you always, Lori, is to stay this side of solutions and ask her to get involved in the solutioning process. We'll make that a verb, solutioning, right? Because your tendency is to jump in and say, well, let's do this, and let's do this, and let's do this, and you want to help her to help begin that process of figuring it out herself.
Okay, so then when she says, can I just remind her? If she says, I'll just, 8 o'clock, I'll remember. Can I remind her that it hasn't been so successful in the past week that I've had to be, and she keeps saying a minute, and it increases my frustration and hers?
Well, I think that the first time, I think that that's the piece that you design around. So it's kind of like the first time she says, I'm going to remember at 8 o'clock. So how are you going to remember at 8 o'clock? You know, and so it's that sort of, it's, and if you've noticed that she said that in the past and it hasn't worked, find the gentle way to say, I know you really want to be able to remember, and I know that for me, I just remembering doesn't happen, especially at 8 o'clock at night when I'm thinking about everything other than this thing. So I probably would have to put a reminder or something in my phone. We can try it tonight without the reminder. Maybe plant the seed in that instance. So, okay, let's try it tonight without the reminder. But if it doesn't work, I'd like you to be open to trying something different tomorrow night.
Right.
Backup plan? Let's try it, but what's your backup plan just in case? If we get to 8:30 and I've noticed that you haven't done it yet, what do you want me to do?
Right, that sounds great.
Okay, cool. Others?
So, hi, this is Vilma.
Go for it.
Okay. So, I'm thinking that... First of all, I have to wait till she comes home and we have a couple of days and she's slept enough. And then to say to her, since we talked or you were saying that you really want to solve this exam problem in chemistry, can we try one of the exercises that I go through with my coaching, my impact coaching? And maybe she'll say yes, and then I'll say, I'll start. Hopefully she'll say yes, and I'll start with, so try this out on me, because she won't have looked at this chart ever, and all of the details of executive function. That's a load, quite a load.
Yeah. Well, and I love, Vilma, how you're setting yourself up for success, right? So you're letting her get some sleep because she's going to be – that her mood is a big key in this. You're asking permission, and you're waiting for the buy-in. So that's a great way to set yourself up for success. Love that. Thank you. Who's next?
Okay. Thanks.
Jennifer, you want to check out?
Continuation is sit down with CJ and ask him, get curious about how he's getting assignments, what he does with them when he gets them, where does he put them, just all of that.
Okay. So how do you want to introduce it to him?
I don't know, because he'll probably say, I got that. I got it, Mom.
So it sounds like there's a buy-in opportunity here for you, Jennifer.
Huh?
It sounds like there's a buy-in opportunity.
Okay.
So I guess the question is, how interested is he in solving the problem?
Okay.
So that's my question to you. On a scale of 0 to 10, how interested is CJ in solving this issue?
Probably two, because he, it's not in his mind. He doesn't think about it. It's in one ear, out the other, forgotten. Oh, okay, I don't have any schoolwork. So.
Well, so I guess my question is how, you know, when he gets that, when that progress report comes out, is he interested in doing well, and he's, or is he to the point where he feels self-defeated? Where do you see him?
He's interested as long if he makes a 60 and passes.
So he's lowered his bar down to passing.
What?
He's lowered his bar down to passing.
Right.
Okay. So what's his motivation to do better than passing?
I don't know if he really has one, you know, other than us telling him, you know, you're not going to get accepted into a good college with just straight C's.
Well, and so here's the thing, is there's a long way to study for this test to getting grades high enough to go to a particular college, right? And so
right.
What you want to do is to figure out either internally or externally how to help create some motivation for him for right now. And so that might be, you know, partnering with him to, you know, create some kind of reward system. Is he more of a carrot or a stick kind of kid?
He can go back and forth.
Well, if he can go back and forth, then I would always encourage the carrot. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, if he's wanting to try to do better in a particular class, and you might pick a class that he really likes or that he's really good in and say, hey, what do you think about challenging yourself to try to get higher than a C on the next test? What do you think it would take? What would be a good reward if you made it happen? That sort of thing. Does that make sense? Because you're building
mm-hmm.
in some motivation and buy-in to a class that he might be interested in changing.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Sandy, you want to give me an aha and an action item, and then we can close off for the day.
I liked when we talked about doing the chart and actually being open about using that, you know, kind of as a tool, you know, so you can talk to your own, your, or ask, you know, what that person would circle as well for you. If,
uh-huh.
if I'm interpreting that, did I interpret that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I thought of doing that. I guess I was wondering, I think because a lot of times your actions might lead to some of the frustration, you know, that they've got too as well. So, but then your recommendation was to literally show this chart, the one attached, and then have them circle.
It may not be the right solution for you. I think that was for Vilma, because Vilma's
yeah.
daughter really wants to change the situation, and she's got a huge amount of buy-in to fix this particular situation. But everybody's got to figure out whether or not their kid is ready to look at this, right? Your kid may be like, the minute you say executive function, they shut down, or the minute you say their brain doesn't work, you know, they see it as somebody was saying earlier, it's like they may see it as a focus on what's broken with them. And so it may not be the right step for you to do that, Sandy.
Got it. I guess I just thought it like in the context of, hey, you know what, I recognize, you know, I don't always plan ahead or something like that. You can look at this, but like, I see what you mean.
Okay, good. All right, everybody. Thank you for a great call today. The next group call will be in 2 weeks. Next week we have a Lifeline call on Thursday, office hours call on Thursday at noon on the 19th. So we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Thanks, everybody.
Great, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.